The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On our last program, I had asked the question of whether you were able to come up with the two diseases that probably have caused more deaths to human beings than any other diseases in the history of mankind. I really do not know which would be one and which would be two. So you can pay your money and take your choice about that. One of these is simply malaria. We're talking at the level of tens to hundreds of millions of human deaths over the history of mankind from this particular disease. The host for the disease is a mosquito, usually one of the species of Anopheles. In some respects, not this one particularly, but I think in many cases the mosquitoes are not fussy about where they get blood. And in some cases, I'm sure it is possible for mosquitoes other than a particular one to transmit a disease, although we usually list a particular genus or species for these. Now, malaria, for those of you that are interested in terminology, the etymology of this simply means bad air. Now, I assume you're aware that contrary to the early beliefs, man does not get malaria because he's walking around where there's bad air. And that was the notion back in the Dark Ages, that people would go out at night, and if the air was bad, then they would breathe in something, some miasma or something else, that would cause the disease to occur in their body. The fact is, of course, that the diseases are malaria is caused by a protozoan. And what would happen is that you'd have mosquitoes that would feed on an organism of some sort that had these protozoans in their bloodstream, another person, or conceivably in some cases animals, and they would simply fill their digestive tract with this blood. The parasites then would move through the walls of the intestinal tract and begin to undergo some developmental differences in the body of the mosquito. If you have a freshman zoology, you're undoubtedly going to find out that the sexual generations are formed in the body of the mosquito, and the asexual generations take place in the body of the man. And without getting too fussy about that, you just have an ideal relationship for the parasite, not ideal either for the mosquito or for the human being necessarily. Most mosquitoes are not, as long as they do not pick up an undue number of parasites, are not harmed by it. If they get too many, it's possible for them to die from the effects of it. That usually doesn't happen. But they will simply, if you've seen pictures or even seen an actual mosquito, paid much attention to it, particularly with a little magnification, you're aware that they have an extremely long proboscis. And if you have watched these things feed, you will see that they simply ram this down through the skin and sit there and suck blood until they get filled up and then fly off. If you have been pestered with mosquitoes, and it's not likely you live in a place where there aren't any, and you're out and you don't have any insect repellent to help you, it's a little tricky. If you're trying to swat the things, you've got to wait. You've got to let them have enough time to begin to penetrate the skin, and then you can hit them before they fly off. Now, if you swat at them too soon, they're going to leave, and if you wait too long, they've already begun sucking blood. So there is something of a timing factor that is a little tricky, but it's effective once you get the trick of it. They will simply fill themselves with blood and fly off often. In fact, and for some of the mosquitoes and other insects, it is necessary that the females have a blood meal before laying eggs, for example, or before molting or some other changes that occur in some of the other insects. And this is probably not a bad time to remind listeners that it is the females of the species who are responsible for the blood sucking. The males, as is true in other organisms as well, are nice, friendly individuals. They feed on plant juice and not blood. I tell my classes often that there probably is a moral of some sort here somewhere that we won't pursue. But I've made the same comment to you about the insects that sting, bees and other venomous insects. It is the females that are responsible for all of that. In any case, the females suck the blood, development occurs, then they will spit out, probably as good a word as any, the sexual forms. The sexual forms are formed in the mosquito. They will mate and produce a protozoan that is then deposited into the body of the victim, male or female, they don't care. And then there's an asexual development that will occur there, and the cycle continues. If you are in a society that views malaria as being caused by bad air, you don't really take any steps to protect yourself particularly, except maybe try to stay inside. And again, depending, that may not be prevention. If you don't have screens on the windows, as places in many parts of the world do not have, or a mosquito net to sleep under, you simply are exposed to the predation of these insects. And this was simply the normal condition for centuries, if not millennia, and it's not to be wondered at then that there have been such tremendously high numbers of people who have died as a consequence of malaria. Now, the other disease that has been very effective in killing people, I don't know what your thoughts are about that, if you've given any. Some of you might come up with it rather quickly. Some of you may get stumped. It really is plague, black plague. Again, the vector for this is an insect, not a mosquito in this case, but rather a flea. And the pathogen is actually a bacterium, Pasteurella pestis, or I think there is a new name now, not Pasteurella any longer, but Yersinia, I think. Yersinia, Yersina. So, you have fleas that often vomit the bacteria out, and in the process, they can then make their way into the holes where the fleas have been feeding. In some cases, there's apparently a direct deposition of the bacteria. But in any case, the organisms have to make their way through the skin, and it's probably worth noting in passing that there really are not many diseases, not many pathogens, that can make their way through a whole skin. And this is one of the basic body defenses we have. If you have some insects that can penetrate the skin, then you have the possibility of all sorts of difficulties as they enter the skin and are able then to go through their development. These things form swellings. The development apparently begins to occur in the lymph system. In my own daily Bible reading, I have just been through the discussion in 1 Samuel about the Israelites deciding that their solution to their enemies was to haul the Ark of God into camp. And the Philistines, although they were fearful that the Israeli gods, the Jewish gods, had come into camp, they decided they had to fight like men, and they did, and captured the ark. And then you had the description of that ark being carried around to 5 of the Philistine cities, and it was put in the temple. And the first one The people came back in the morning, and I think it was Dagon, the god, had fallen off his pedestal in front of the ark. And they set him back up. The next day they came in, and it had fallen down, and the hands and the head had broken off. But it's interesting in that description. In fact, when they finally decided the way to cut out, every place they sent it, they had problems. They decided the only thing to do was to send it back to the Israelites, and the magicians of the Philistines decided there need to be offerings. So they put, it is the golden offerings that interest me. They five mice, one for each city, and five buboes, B-U-B-O-E-S is the biblical term. I suspect those are the swellings that were caused by the effect of the fleas biting the body and causing that reaction. But at least it's interesting that you have the mice, the rats that would have the fleas that in turn would bite humans and cause the disease. I'm not dead sure about that, but it seems reasonable to me at least. So for these two, and by the way, there have been a number of pandemics, worldwide epidemics of plague. One in about, I recall, about the 800s or 900s, that in a period of something less than 50 years destroyed a quarter of the population of the world. You remember Poe's story about the the red mask, was it? That was written about the pandemic that occurred back in the 16, 1700s in Europe and was the cause of Mask of the Red Death, I guess it was, caused a number of diseases. Now, there are other diseases that cause problems, but none have caused as many deaths as these two. And in this day, at least, since we have effective ways of handling insects, this is one way of helping to prevent the diseases themselves. But back in those days, that simply was not an option. So there really was not any prevention that could be intentionally applied to prevent the diseases, because they really had no idea of the pathogens or the course of the diseases in people, etc. So we live in a time where, because of man's study and intelligence, we have knowledge that enable us to be a lot less susceptible to these kinds of diseases.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's J-H-E-N-S-O-N at bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.